since I've hidden the word in my heart instead of the world, why do you think I have such a good success rate in getting people healed? Because with what I've learned in the world, does that get anybody healed?
No.
Where do I get the knowledge to get people healed?
The word.
The word. And when I quote the word, Jesus shows up.
Amen.
And don't we love that? You notice the grandfather a while ago, after he's learned the word, you notice the people he's praying for in bold faith, and you notice he said, they're getting healed.
Yeah.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
The word of God's working for granddad, just like it does for this granddad. And I'm grateful that God does that. But he didn't happen until he got in the word, and he's begun to listen to it, and he's listening to it. You notice they're now listening to the word every day?
Yeah.
Every day. Now, what did God tell us to do here? He says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. Meditate on it day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written. I said, like one of the ladies coming to me, I said, you know, the reason so many people are sick today is because there's so much sexual activity out of wedlock within the church. And of course, I talked about that in great length, because that's why so many people are sick. Your children are sick because of that sin. I mean, of course, one of the ladies, after it was over, we didn't pray for people the first night because it was 10:30 at night. But she came up and she said, you know, I don't agree with you in this sexual thing. I said, God's a God of love, mister. You know, he loves, he would never judge us. I told her, I said, you know, have you ever read Hebrews 13:4? She says, well, I don't guess I know what it says. I said, you know, while you're standing right there, I want you to open your Bible. I want you to read Hebrews 13:4 to me and see what God says. Now, as he's talking here in Joshua 1:8, are we supposed to meditate on the word?
Yes.
Okay, so is Hebrews 13:4 in the word?
Yes.
So what does it say? Anybody got it? What? The marriage bed is honorable in all, but whoremongers, homosexuals, and adulterers, God didn't say might. It says God will judge them. So if it says God will, what do you think is going to happen? What do you think he's going to do? He's going to judge them. So people are dying every day, and their children are dying every day. Just like we go back to when Moses came down from the mountain. You know, when Moses came down from the mountain, there's a drunken orgy going on. People are naked, running all over the place. Tens of thousands of them. Somebody says, man, that must have been some kind of a party. It must have been. Because God killed 23,000 of them that one day, right there. I mean, he didn't like what he saw. 23,000 people that was drunk and having sex with somebody that wasn't their mate and everything else, running all over the place, having a party. Those people died right there and went to hell that night. 23,000 of them. But God's a God of love today. He would never do that today. But in Hebrews 13:4, he said he will. So he's killing people, making people sick and afflicting them to get their attention, to straighten them up every day. And people are not even smart enough to realize why they're being sick. They don't know. Wow, what a shame. But look what he says. That you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. Now then, if we meditate on the book, and the book says you're to have no grumbling and complaining. I mean, we know it says that, don't we? Then what should we do? No grumbling and complaining. Then why in the world do we still do it? I'll tell you why. We hadn't had quite enough spankings yet to really believe that God's going to do it. After you've had as many as I have, you finally get to where you believe that. You know, I mean, I've had a few. I don't know about you, but I don't like a spanking from God. I've had several. Sometimes I think I must really be a hard learner. Have you ever had that feeling? I must really be a toughie, you know. But guess who's tougher? The king is. That's right. You can't outdo him. He will get your attention. He will judge you. But he says there, that you may do according to all that is written therein, for then, after you do obey everything it says, it shall make your way prosperous, and you shall have a good success in life. Now, is that what everybody's looking for?
Amen.
Everybody wants their children to be prosperous and successful. But the one thing we're not telling them to do is, child, get in the Word. Read God's Word. And then obey what you learn, and it will bring prosperity and health to you. I mean, that's just like I can remember years ago whenever I didn't even know nothing about tithing. You know, I mean, I'd raised up in church, but I didn't learn that at church. I got in the military, and I was in the military, and I was having a struggle making it from payday to payday. Now, I know none of y'all have ever been through anything like this, But I was having a struggle from payday to payday to make it. I never seemed to have enough payday to make it to the end of the month. You ever had that? Yep, I had it. And one day I was in church. I said, Lord, I'm trying my best to balance my budget. I just don't understand why I seem to never be able to have enough. You know, I'm always short a few dollars. And so I went to church one day. And of course, I went every Sunday. But that Sunday, the pastor happened to be talking about tithing. And he said, you know, there's people that'll come here, and when the offering plate's passed, they'll put a dollar bill in the plate. Well, that's exactly what I'd done that morning. When the plate come by, I dropped my dollar in there. When he said that, I looked up, and he was pointing his finger right at me. I just shrunk down in the seat. I thought, oh, God, he saw me put that dollar bill in there. He's talking about me. No, he didn't see me put that dollar bill in there, but who did see me put that dollar bill in there? The only one that counts, and that's God. And he's trying to tell me, son, I'm not pleased with that dollar. I am giving you $40 a week out there as an airman in the Air Force, and you ought to be putting $4 of that a week in the plate, not one. And then when I got home, I was so convicted, and I told my wife, I said, you know, I don't see how in the world we can't make it now by putting a dollar. And if we put four in there, there ain't no way that we can make it to the end on that $40. But I said, the pastor did say, God says, put me to the test and try me. And see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing you can't contain. I said, I don't know how in the world he's going to do that. But I said, next Sunday, we're going to put $4 in that offering plate. I've been putting that $4 plus 10% ever since. That's been a long time ago. And from the day I started tithing until today, guess how many times I've been out of money? Never. Never. I have always had enough money to pay all my bills. Isn't that amazing? I know I got to be one of God's favorites. That's the reason he does that, huh? You don't think so? Oh, you don't think I'm his favorite, huh? Yeah. Who can be God's favorite? Nobody. Anybody that obeys him.
That's right.
So I can be his favorite, you can be his favorite, Scott can be his favorite. All of us can be his favorite as long as we obey him, right? But we have to obey. He does not have any favorites. If you don't obey him, you're definitely not a favorite. You're under his curse. And so let's go to verse 9 and 10. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever you go. Now then, if God promised to be with Joshua wherever he went, just like he did with Moses, today under the new covenant, he promises to not forsake us or leave us, and so everywhere we go, he's with us. Now then, I'd much rather have him with me with his arm around me blessing me than following me and booting me in the rear end because I'm disobedient. Do y'all know where I'm coming from? Yeah. I do not want to be booted because I'm doing wrong. Because can I get away from God? No, he's always there. And he's either blessing me because I'm obeying him or he's cursing me because I'm disobeying him. One of the two. There's no other way. It says, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare your victuals or your items you need to take with you. For within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God gives you to possess it. Now then, I don't know if you know or not, but it just happens to be that the Jordan River is at flood stage. I mean, it's roaring. It's not a very big river anyway, but in this story where we're talking about, I mean, there is a giant river flowing from bank to bank. And if you've ever lived where I had down in Mills County, when I was a kid growing up, the Colorado River, they built a big lake, big, huge monster. And they said with normal flows of the Colorado River, it'll take 3 years for that to run around. It'll hold all the water that's going to run from West Texas down through Mills County and on into, it'll take 3 years of normal rainfall to fill that big dam up. My dad told me in either 1933 or 1935, when he was a young man, they had the biggest rains in West Texas they ever had. And normally, from the top of the Gold Lake Mountain, you cannot see the Colorado River. Not at all. You can't even see it. It's about 5 or 6 miles out there. But that day, when Dad come up on top of the Gold Lake Mountain, the Colorado River was over 1 mile wide. And that big giant lake they had just built filled up and run around in 3 days. 3 days. Now, my dad told me that's the biggest river he had ever seen in his life. I mean, I've done a lot of fishing on the Colorado River, and it's a pretty good-sized little river, okay? Nothing like the Mississippi or nothing like that. You know, it's a little tiny stream compared to the Mississippi. But it's a pretty good fishing place, and I used to love to go down there and everything. But to think about that river, every time I go to the top of the Gold Lake Mountain, I look out there and I think, wow, my dad got to see the river over a mile wide. Wow, that was something. You just don't realize what God can do. But he says, get everything ready. In 3 days, you're going to go through, and you're going to go to the through the Jordan River, and the Jordan River is heaped up. Now, I mean, I've seen the Colorado River whenever it's only 20 or 30 feet deep, maybe 100, 120, 150 feet wide, and it's 20, 30, maybe 40 foot in places, a lot of water. But I'm telling you, when it was running like that, guess what I didn't do? I didn't go down there and go swimming in that beast. I didn't step off the side because that water is running down that river. And if you had have stepped off into that, you'd have been in trouble. So if somebody had have told me, just walk up there and start walking across it, I would never have had the faith to do something like that. Never. But Joshua's fixing to tell them, we're fixing to walk across the Jordan River. And so they're going to walk up there, and they're going to walk right on across. And as the priests step out there, the land's going to become dry, and the water's going to heap up behind them. And all of Israel, which is a few million people. Now, you got to get this in your spirit, what this looks like. The scripture said there's 650,000 adult males. Now, if you got 650,000 adult men, you got 650,000 adult females. They all got a wife. You see that back in those days, they had anywhere from 6 to 10 to 15 kids, right? So you got to think, we got probably a minimum of 3 million, maybe a maximum of 5 million people is going to cross that Jordan River. It wasn't like the Ten Commandments, the movie you saw. That didn't even come close. I've heard people say that God would have had to back the water up, I think it's 3 miles, and people walk 4 abreast all the way across that all night long to get 5 million people across that. Okay, now you stop and think about this. How many people we got in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex? About 5 or 6 million. Can you imagine God giving you the chore to get all that mess of people together and march them down the interstate all the way to Oklahoma City? I can't even imagine that. This has got to be a bigger task, far bigger than we even dream about what it is. But with God, what can He do?
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop our program here for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled How to Be Prosperous and Successful, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.